the BBC Home Service. Here is a special bulletin read by John Snagg. D-Day has come. Early this morning, the Allies began the assault on the northwestern face of Hitler's European fortress. The first official news came just after 9:30, when Supreme Headquarters of the Allied Expeditionary Force, usually called SHAPE from its initials, issued communique number one. This says, under the command of General...
This is the story of a landing craft. Afloat, it wouldn't have been particularly remarkable. Merely another one of hundreds of thousands of landing craft produced by the major maritime nations during the 20th century. Even underwater, it isn't especially unusual. Craft of this type litter the seabed of the English Channel. But what makes this story interesting is the cargo it carried that now lies 20 meters down on the seabed east of the Isle of Wight. I'm on board the White Spirit, diving boat, taking maritime archaeologists from the Hampshire and Wight Trust for Maritime Archaeology out to a position just south of Selsey Bill and east of the Isle of Wight. But it isn't a shipwreck that we're going to look at, it's tanks. Our story starts in June 1944 in the build-up to Operation Neptune. Neptune was the assault phase of Operation Overlord, the Western Allies' plan to invade northwest Europe. The assault required a large-scale amphibious landing in France, from which to establish a sufficient foothold on the continent to advance through Europe and into Germany. The invasion had two main elements: an overnight airborne landing to secure the flanks of the invasion area, followed by a dawn amphibious assault along a 60-mile stretch of the Normandy coast. Most of the landings would take place along beaches, and they would employ all manner of specially designed boats and ships in order to place men onto the shore as quickly as possible. These vessels were known as landing craft and landing ships, and they were built to several different specifications depending on the task allocated to them. The inspiration for the landing craft is occasionally attributed to Winston Churchill, who apparently recognised the need for a shallow draft vessel capable of landing men directly onto beaches after the disastrous Gallipoli campaign. In fact, it was First Sea Lord John Fisher who had asked Walter Pollock to design 200 motor landing craft in February 1915 for use in the Gallipoli landings. These were known as X-lighters, and they were the inspiration behind the very first purpose-built vehicle landing craft, the Motor Landing Craft, or MLC, designed and built by J. Samuel White of Cowes in the 1920s. The MLC was capable of landing the British Army's medium tanks directly onto a beach, and the concept was quickly replicated for infantry in the Landing Craft Assault, or LCA. Throughout the interwar years, the British, Americans, and the Japanese began developing more and more landing vessels for a variety of different tasks. The MLC design evolved into the Landing Craft Mechanized, or LCM, a vessel capable of carrying infantry or one vehicle onto a beach. It was early in the Second World War, though, that Churchill pressed for a vessel capable of landing several tanks or armoured vehicles directly onto a beach and being able to sustain itself at sea for a week or more. This led to the British Landing Craft Tank Mark I, or LCT, launched in November 1940, and it was quickly followed by another three marks in the following year. When the United States entered the war in 1941, they had no LCT designs of their own, and they were forced to consider British plans. One plan, that had already been drawn up by Thornycroft, was modified by American designers and launched in 1942 as the LCT Mark V. Approximately 470 of these were built during the war, several hundred of which were given to the British Armed Forces under the Lend-Lease programme. I recently spoke to Lieutenant Commander Norman Vingo, who served on board Mark V landing craft tank 2041 on D-Day 1944.
At the time of the D-Day, I was a sub-lieutenant RNVR aboard the Mark V LCT, a converted LCT or a modified one. I was second in command, known as the first lieutenant, the skipper being a lieutenant RNVR, somewhat older than me. I can tell you when I first joined, I didn't like the idea of going to a landing craft, a Mark V, you know, ugly little vessels, really. And previously, before I was commissioned, I was in a Mark II LCT, which was a bit more to my liking, although I wanted to go to the big ships, you see. But expected to, but like a lot of others, we had to fill the gap where the need was, and the need was in landing craft. At first, I didn't like it at all, but it grew on me, and I loved it in the end. I have fond memories. 2041 was certainly one of a number of Mark V LCTs, tank landing craft, that had been modified before D-Day. Originally, she was a basic LCT in a flotilla of 12. Actually, it was a 21st LCT flotilla. And we were trained for practice landings, navigation, for eventual attack on the enemy. Then after about 18 months of that, she was selected with a number of others, a small number of other Mark V basic LCTs, for this role of an attack LCT, that's to say, to carry tanks to fire from the sea onto an enemy beach.
In the build-up to Operation Neptune, it was realised that hundreds of LCTs would be required to land armour directly onto the beaches, but it was also realised that LCTs were the best craft to modify for a variety of different tasks that would be required during the invasion. Most of these tasks centred on providing more firepower as the invasion fleet approached Normandy. For several of these modifications, a large platform was built on the vehicle deck, allowing a tank or self-propelled gun to fire over the LCT's bow as it ran in towards the beach. This was the case with the LCT-CB, the landing craft tank Concrete Buster, which used a Sherman Firefly tank armed with a 17-pounder gun to demolish concrete bunkers. Likewise, the landing craft tank Armoured, or LCTA, had a ramp that allowed two tanks to park side by side, fire over the ship's bow as the landing craft advanced towards the beach. The LCTA was designed to provide close support fire during the first wave. The two tanks would bombard targets on the beach, on the run into shore, and then disembark to provide cover for the infantry as they advanced inland. Landing craft tank Mark V's were converted to fulfil this role, and each was reinforced with extra 2-inch armour plating around the wheelhouse and crew quarters, and 1-inch armour around the bow. 48 Mark V's that had been loaned to Britain were so converted into LCTAs, 26 of which were reverse loaned back to the US for the invasion. All of the Mark V landing craft that were modified in this way were redesignated with a number 2 in front of their existing number. Thus, LCT-428, a Mark V landing craft, became LCTA-2428, a Mark V landing craft tank armoured.